If we ever had a family movie, it's probably that one about how 9/11 was an inside job.
And I looked over at him, and he looked over at me with his whiskey, and he goes, "When boys were bloody men."
Give him a call. And he's like, "Yeah, I'm in Ohio." And he said it so casually. He said it like, "Yeah, I'm going to be a little late. I'm just going to need to go to Canada real quick."
Fuck you, Dad!
All right, welcome to another episode of Fuck You, Dad, everybody. This week, we got a very funny guest, my buddy, Jeremy Alder. Jeremy, thanks for coming on the pod. How you been, man?
Hello, everybody. You know, doing all right. Pushing through the pandemic like everybody else.
I can't help but feel like we're... Do you feel like we're almost through it? Or do you feel like everyone's getting too excited?
Oh, no. I definitely feel like... I feel like we're almost through it. Like, you know, my wife just got the vaccine. A bunch of my family is already vaccinated, at least on my wife's side, not at my family's. Yeah. I've got a bunch of anti-vaxxers in my family, so they're never going to get vaccinated, which is fine. But
what kind of anti-vaxxer are they? Are they like it gives you Down syndrome, or are they like it's got microchips? Or is it a different kind of it?
I think it's a mix. I think it's a mix. So I think like my parents, it's more, I don't know if they believe in microchips, but they do believe that, like, you know, you can't trust big pharma, which you have a point there.
It's not true.
It's not true. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're convinced that like the entire CDC is, you know, own stock in big pharma and so can't be trusted. And the entire mainstream media is in on this because they're making money off of it. And so, you know, I don't know. I mean, my mom's been a like conspiracy theorist, you know, my whole life. So, you know, I knew about chemtrails when I was a child.
Oh, so you're like a conspiracy theorist hipster.
Oh yeah, man. Yeah,
you're into chemtrails and fucking the microchips before anybody knew what was up.
Oh yeah. We didn't have a microwave. Yeah, yeah.
You didn't even have a mic. Damn. That's how far.
Well, that's simple logic. Microchip, microwave,
they go together, right?
Yeah,
Was your coloring book literally coloring in the chemtrails, pouring the acid on all of us?
Wasn't that bad, but like, you know, she you know, I mean, I remember chemtrails. I remember anytime a helicopter would fly over, it was just assumed those were government agents.
I love how you're like, you're going to bring up at some point that you were raised in Waco. Like, it was,
was
literally government aid. You're like, yeah, they came. There was a tape. And it was really blurry. And I was raised in a foster home for ages. Because then you're describing it. It's like, yeah. And I'd always, you know, it was my turn to watch. I'm holding the AK.
But it's. Let's say this. Look.
I would stick and poke swastikas into my brother's arms. I mean, it's.
I grew up homeschooled on a homestead 2 hours south of Waco and the Branch Davidians, and I remember watching that on TV with my mom, and my mom was 100% on the side of the Branch Davidians and was 100% convinced that it was you know, it's the jackbooted thugs of the, you know, the
ATF,
the DEA and the ATF,
yeah,
that had gone in there and started it all. And you know, she bought the videos that proved that the ATF went in there with tanks and like blew flames into the compound and everything. Like, you know, my mom's been in it
deep
for a while.
Deep.
She's deep. I mean, she's Q now. Like
she's full. Did she reserve tickets for the Capitol? Was she like, you know how there's like VIP, is she part of the VIP section of the Capitol riot where it's like, I've been.
Yes. When I saw that happening, my first thought was like, how come I didn't get invited to the family reunion? Like, what is happening?
Yeah, yeah. You see your uncle on TV. It's like, we're doing DC this year? This is crazy.
What's going on? Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
What are y'all doing?
Usually we go to the beach every year, but I didn't know this year was DC.
Let me tell you.
I know, right?
What's everyone rushing in for? The filmmaker's famous barbecue this year? I can tell you. that's worth slamming down a door for. Well, that's pretty great. So is your mom, would you argue that your mom is a little bit more passionate about this than your dad?
Yes.
Yes, is your dad? Definitely. Did you think your dad kind of just kind of wanted to get laid in high school, and he was like, "Okay, yeah, I'll live in a militia, whatever." I mean, he just followed. He was just like, "Yeah, my kids won't use electricity. Fine, yeah." I mean, yeah. Your dad was actually like an atheist. Your dad's a Jewish atheist from New York. He like changed his whole identity to be with your mom. It's just for sure. Yeah, it's a Christian nation. I mean, what are we supposed to do? Go
not,
back?
I would not be surprised. I do think he would go that far to avoid conflict.
I really love. That's probably how I would go with codependency. Just literally like, end up joining ISIS. I was like, I didn't want to say anything. She was into it. It was good for our relationship. Next thing you know, I'm moving to Syria. She got really crazy really quick.
A picture with you with your arm around some Syrian warrior. Yeah. Just like taking a nice selfie for Instagram.
I thought she was a dominatrix. I didn't know. I just thought that was all kinky garb. I didn't realize
relationships are crazy, right?
Yeah. They take you to far extremes.
Where did you grow up, Jeremy? Did you say you grew up in Texas?
Yeah, yeah. I grew up in San Antonio and kind of the surrounding areas.
So oh, okay.
South Texas. Gotcha. Yeah. And I actually didn't get all of my vaccines until I remember having to go and get some when I went on my first mission trip when I was like 16. Mm-hmm. Because to go to Mexico, I had to have certain vaccines that I didn't have. And then when I started college, I had to get a whole nother series of vaccines that I had never gotten.
That's how you know when you're behind, when you're going on a mission trip to help people and they're like, wait, are you okay?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, help me.
You're
okay. Yeah.
When you're trying to get into Mexico and they're like, no, I'm sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, you know, we have a cure to polio. You can't be bringing the bubonic plague back to this.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, so she's been anti-vax for a while. She's definitely, you know, OG anti-vax.
So I got to know now, if you know, because I'm so fascinated by the QAnon.
Yeah,
it's sort of like
kind of hilarious.
Yeah,
it's fascinating. It's like the flat Earth thing, right? It's kind it's just fascinating to me that. I mean, it's dangerous too, but
right.
To me, it's like, it's interesting. So does she like have a Facebook and all that? Is she active there?
You're like, where do we follow your mom? Does your mom have a podcast?
Yeah.
What's plug your mom's podcast.
No, I know she has a Facebook account and she, I think she's on Instagram, but like she never posts anything. She only uses it to lurk.
Right.
To keep in the yes. circle.
Well, that's how people got into QAnon is all the like Facebook and everything in it, and the algorithm will trap you. And next thing you know, you're in Q.
Yes. I mean, she got into YouTube, you know, maybe Facebook or whatever, but I mean, she started, you know, back in 2016 sending me YouTube videos and me and my brothers, and we were like, oh man, what is happening? You know,
yeah, what is happening where the fucking government is owned by pedophiles and Q is the only truth releasing it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah. And, you know, I mean, she was, as far as like the anti-vax stuff and the Q stuff, I mean, they are related. They're also kind of separate. Like the anti-vax stuff predated the Q stuff, but I do think there's definitely this.
You are a hipster. You're like giving me a lecture on right-wing conspiracy theories. You're like, no. And they're not gonna. That's it. We can put the OG anti-vax. Q is some new dubstep bullshit on right-wing conspiracy theory. Q is like, if you're into Q, you're a punk. Get the fuck out. It's done. The getting was good with anti-vax, Waco, fucking Oklahoma City, which we all kind of quietly supported.
Yeah. Ruby Ridge, man. Ruby Ridge.
That is, oh my god, that is so funny. It sounded like you were in a record store. Just be like, this is the cue. That's true. You don't want the cue. You want the anti-vax.
Yeah.
You want the anti-vax.
Get the old stuff, man.
Yeah. No, the cues. That's
all a knockoff. The cues are knockoff.
You turn on the radio, cues playing. Cues done. Cues done.
No, but it probably started with Christianity. I think that's probably where that was the first conspiracy that
right.
They threw themselves into.
Right.
And then it just kind of grew from there.
That so. One at least can help people. I feel like
right.
Christianity, you know,
not,
like
not a lot of Q mission trips
can go either way.
Yeah, yeah, it can go either way. But like, if you hear like an ex-con being like, "Oh, I got into Christianity," you're like, "Oh, maybe you're trying to turn yourself maybe around." It's good. But if he's like, I'm selling Cutco knives, you're like, you're still doing blow. Sorry, buddy. I always thought that Cutco knives was a cult. My dad
is a cult. I almost worked for. I remember getting a phone call in high school and it was like, your friend recommended you for a job, and I was like, me of all people. And then like, you got an interview tomorrow, and and you get text messages. That's how I knew it was fucked, because people were excited to A, talk to me, B, work with me. I was like, this is. There's nothing in my track record that would suggest that I'm a good person for this at all. Yeah. And they're just like, yeah, no, it's great. So all you have to do is con all your friends and family into buying these knives. I'm like, no. You just have to scam everyone you know, and then get a team, and then they go out and scam everyone they know.
So, Jeremy, you said you were homeschooled?
Yeah, yeah.
Was that all the way through high school?
Yes, second grade through high school. My education was controlled by a conspiracy theorist.
It literally sounds like a
barely graduated high school.
It sounds like a debriefing, my man. It sounds like you just were held hostage. Like we just rescued you.
No, from the seriously. Yeah.
It sounds like, I'm like, no, we landed on the moon. And you're like, again, I've been living in a room where a high school grad tells me that the big government's trying to kill me through the flu vaccine. I don't know anything.
That's what's crazy about homeschooling. Like literally the only qualification you need to have is a kid.
Yeah, my dad almost started a homeschool.
I'm sure.
No, my dad pulled me out of school for 2 days because I was complaining about school in fourth grade. Whenever I complained about school, my dad went, that's because it's a fucking school is corrupt.
Yes.
And it's just a wage slave farm is what he said.
Which there is a great, great.
No, like all insanity.
Like all
of it, a little true. And he's like, but again, if it's like, and so he pulled us, but he made no official plans. We just had to call in sick for 2 days. He filed for his school, which is called the People's School of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, because he was planning to move to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania the week.
The people's school, but it's just Kenyan. But yeah, it's the people's school.
So he pulled my brother out of school too, and then my dad, he has to go to work at Kroger, and so he doesn't have time to do. So my grandfather, just slowly realizing the insanity that's going on, one day before I guess he's like calling child services, he just sort of was like, "We're gonna do multiplication tables," and it's just us awkwardly doing math while you can tell he's looking off in the distance, and he's like, "What did I do wrong?"
Oh no!
He's like, "What did I do wrong?"
Can you imagine getting your groceries bagged at Kroger and the bagger's like, "Paper or plastic?" By the way, I run a school. It's called the People's School of Harrisburg. Right now, I've just got my two sons. You got kids? I can teach them the real stuff. You say plastic? It was plastic, right? Okay.
Yeah. No. I mean, it was, and then we gave up. The revolution ended because after 2 days, he's like, I don't have the time. And I had to go back to school and say, I had the flu. I go back to school and say, I had the flu. And he got mail later that said the People's School of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Oh, like he registered it.
No, he's a horrible mix of incompetent and competent, where occasionally his brain will come together to do something competent, but it's always for a horrible reason. I was like, Dad, you have a good job. He's like, no, I will register for this homeschool, though. I will do that.
All dads do that. They take a hobby. He took that on as like a dad hobby. My dad does the same thing. He'll like take something super seriously for like a week and then be like, it's too much. Fuck it. Yeah. And then just drop it. Yeah. He took your whole education like that.
He was,
like,
he was
fishing.
He was like, no, you should go to a Sudbury school where they don't have any teachers and students make their own grades. And I'm like, just admit, you don't like society in life. You're like, I don't like it when my dad tells me what to do, so no one should tell you. You should let anybody tell you what to do. It's basically his whole ideology. Jackbooted thug of my dad on my neck, telling me I'm fucking up with my kids.
But Jeremy, your mom was your teacher?
Yes, and we were. So my mom.
Again, what is your dad doing? Just sitting in the corner, being like, maybe they should learn how to read. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. What do I know? I'm dumb. Your dad really sold you kids up the river to get laid. Do you know every week he's like, I don't want to bring it up. It's Friday, it's been 2 weeks.
No, to be fair, I don't know how much my dad, had in that decision.
Did your dad bring Nelda Austin?
He was running a business.
Kept in the closet gag?
No, he was running. He had his own construction carpentry business that he was working. And so he was always gone. He was gone before I woke up, and he was always, you know, back around dinner.
Looking for help.
If my kids were getting homeschooled, that's exactly the schedule I would want.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Gone.
Yeah, I get it. No, I am 100. I understand why my dad left every single day. I don't know why he came back. That's the surprising thing, honestly.
No one talks about that more. Like, him leaving makes sense.
My mom pulled us out. Neither one of them, like, they both, like, barely graduated high school. My mom was pregnant her senior year and barely graduated. None of them went to college. Neither one of them went to college. And they just decided they were going to homeschool their four kids. And my mom, knew nothing about homeschool. Like, this was before, like, homeschooling's a little, it's not mainstream now, but it's like, you ask most people and they know what it is.
Yeah.
This was early 80s. And, like, not a lot of people knew what homeschooling was. We weren't even sure that it was entirely legal. I mean, my mom told us, listen, if a black car pulls up and there's men in suits, y'all go hide and let me answer the door.
Okay, so you were in Waco. So yeah, there was more than homeschool. You're like, we learned how to make a bomb out of these 7 days.
They were gonna come.
We're talking about the black suits come. It's kind of like my dad. It's this conspiratorial sense of importance, because you're like, what I'm doing by fucking up teaching my son math, that the government is going to send its best agents to take down Barbara. They're gonna kick me out. They're gonna do, because I matter. It's not that I'm just some random person from my hometown that just fuck this guy I went to high school with, and now I just have four kids.
Yeah,
and
I'm special.
I'm special.
That also sounds like a story of how a family killed Jehovah's Witnesses. You know, like these, like,
buried them in the yard.
Yeah. Two young men in suits came up, and next thing they know, they're toast.
Yeah, your mom's like, I've been waiting for this a long time. They're like, what would you like to talk to you about? Boom! And just shotgun to the chest. Your mom has booby traps. He's like, what? We're going to tell you you shouldn't celebrate birthdays. And then they just explode in the yard through a landmine.
Well, look, our first curriculum was made entirely of Highlights magazines. This is what she told me. Highlights magazines that she got from the doctor's office. Then she subscribed to it, and then she would basically use articles from Highlights magazines to construct a curriculum for our first year of homeschooling, which, by the way, our school was called the Alder School of Advanced Conservative Studies.
It sounds like a think tank. Sounds
it
like
was
it's an
based
actual thing.
Off of it was based off of Rush Limbaugh's the Limbaugh School of Advanced Conservative Studies.
Oh, Limbaugh is the grand master, is the grand ideological master you guys were basing the school off.
Yes. Yes. He was our virtual headmaster.
Jeremy, can I ask you?
Addicted radio host. That is like
I don't know. I think this was pre-addiction.
Oh, pre-opiates.
Oh, right. Yeah, no, that's when he made a lot of snets.
This was
he was
the just good Limbaugh years. Yeah. You guys don't remember the good Limbaugh years.
The 1980s. Was he calling Reagan too Democrat or something? Like, what was he mad at?
Yeah, well, you're winning so hard in the 80s. I just don't even... Was he mad like more people weren't dying from AIDS? So what's his issue?
The first time I remember becoming conscious of Limbaugh was during the Clinton era.
Oh, right.
He was mad.
So I don't know. Before that, I wasn't even paying attention.
Yeah. But... Right. It was just Lish Limbaugh going, today it's just another great day in America. So, Jeremy, serious question. How have you managed to do anything?
I'm wondering that, too.
Like, genuinely. People say that to me, I was like, I was a little newborn baby and someone handed me a bunch of magazines and they're like, this is all you need to know. Like, why didn't we find you in
the Bible
covered in dirt, like just eating Hostess?
We also have the Bible.
Oh, right. Basic instructions before leaving Earth, dude. It's all you need to know in there. Only book we read here. Only thing we need to study. I bet now you just go reverse pitch and you're like, yeah, I would have been screwed if it wasn't for the Bible. I just would touch it every night.
Now honestly, yeah, I went through a whole journey after you said that. I was like, damn.
Was he right?
Maybe that shit.
There is a lot of big words in there. I mean, you learn how to read that. You got to know what there's Proverbs. You got to think a little bit. Yeah.
I mean, I was raised Catholic, like
raises,
but we didn't open a Bible.
No, yeah. That's very un-Catholic to open a Bible.
No.
to even think about Christianity.
It's about shame.
It's about showing up every now and then, feeling bad, and then calling it a day. Yeah. Then call Easter Sunday, that's Christmas, and then you bring it up any more than that and you're kind of weird.
Well, and also it's about supporting the Antichrist, the Pope.
Right.
Yeah. People always bring up Catholic guilt. They're like, Catholic guilt. And it's like, yeah, you should have guilt for not reporting pedophiles. That's a huge thing you should be guilty for.
That's
good. That's good. Right there. I hope you're working that.
Yeah.
I might.
Okay.
I might. When was the last time you did a comedy show, Jeremy?
I haven't done an indoor comedy show in a year, like almost exactly a year to this day. I did my last indoor show.
Me too.
I did a few outdoor shows over the summer, like a handful, five or six.
I'll probably cut this. It doesn't matter. But you had one on a rooftop, right? Was that yours?
Yeah, yeah. Local 506.
That one looked so cool.
Local 506 was doing a monthly show.
James. It made me feel so homesick when I saw those pictures because really? I was like, yeah, because I was like, that is some, that's, I don't know, that was just the shit. I was like, I wish I could afford to like fly down just to do that because,
yeah, those are fun shows.
So fun.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, we were able because North Carolina is fairly temperate. We were able to have a lot of outdoor shows even through the fall.
But yeah, Chicago was just shut down.
You couldn't do that.
No.
Yeah.
So,
but I stopped in November. I stopped doing any shows. I did a couple of shows where I just felt really sketchy. Like even the outdoor shows, they were really crowded and the comics and the crowds weren't being safe. And, you know, I had like a COVID scare. I think I didn't end up having it, but I got sick and thought maybe I did. And then it was kind of a wake up call. And I was like, you know,
right.
It's not worth it.
Right. So you let a 500,000 deaths stop your grind. You're telling me that a 500,000 deaths was enough for you to stop talking about Tinder. Is that because you're a coward hack, right? I mean, that's the only, come on.
I mean, after a while, after I ran out of my good material, then I hung it up.
Yeah. But you try to make it like I was worried about COVID. You're like, I was tapped. I had nothing.
That's all it was.
Yeah.
I got writer's block. Eventually at 500,000 deaths, I was like, I can't write after
I got nothing.
What? 450,000, I was just dying. I was cranking the jokes at 450.
Yeah, everyone was. 500, we hit that five, game's over. All right.
It does feel good now because I did my first indoor show, like you said, since a year last week. Felt really safe. Like they had a ton of precautions and stuff, and people like we mentioned before, people are getting vaccinated. But it feels so good now to, 'cause I was talking with other comics before the show, and I don't know, it feels good to have like a legitimate reason to be like, this is why I'm bad. Whereas normally I'd have to be like, I'm just, right. You know, I'm in a weird slump right now. And now it's like, no, I haven't done it in a while. That's why I'm bad.
No.
That's been the hardest thing, man, is watching literally the shittiest people I know getting better at stand-up over the course of this year because they're taking up all the stage time.
Yeah, they're going out.
Going out.
The voices that need to be heard the least were like, we're ready. I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
And like, I'm ready to go on tour.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's one of those things where I saw pictures of people doing stand up and they're wearing in New York City and they're wearing coats in an alley.
I'm like, let it go. Like, let it go.
You're sick.
Yeah. Go call your mom. Sit inside.
No, what the fuck? Like, honestly, those people are like, whatever. If, you know, if you're like a low level comic like us, that's like whatever. But what drove me nuts is seeing people like, you know, Chappelle and Brian Regan and DL Hughley out there they don't, they're rich as fuck. Yeah, they don't need to do these shows. They already have a career. They have all the money they could possibly use. And they went out there, got sick, and spread it to other people. Right. For what? It's not that they didn't need to pay rent. Like, I'm not gonna, I have no problem. I understand comics. You know, some comics really, like, they were at the stage where, like, this is my only job. This is how I pay my rent. And I'm going to have to do some shitty shows.
Which, you know, when they said that, too, I was like, humble brag. Okay, humble
brag. Yeah, you're like, guys, listen, I just finally made it. I can't quit now. You're like, Kenny, like, I just beat you at your own dream. I can't just fucking sit here and not do it. You know? No, yeah. No, I think that is totally, I agree with you, Jeremy. It is totally different when, you're like, if I don't do it, I'm literally going to, my house is going to be taken. And it's different when you're sitting in, like, your third summer home and you're like, what state will allow me to do
it? I just have to get on stage. I just have to do it because it's what I love and it's what, you know, the people need me. They don't fucking need you.
No.
Right.
No, the world has never needed to laugh less than this past year. Like, and it's history. Like, it just, we did not need comedy this year at all.
Right.
It's only made it worse. Comedy this past year has only made the world worse. Like,
oh, 100%. 100%.
Except for this goddamn podcast. I'll say that. This podcast has been the golden torch in a dark time, leading listeners to untold riches, which will be our Patreon soon enough.
So, I mean, when you think about it, this is the safest form of entertainment.
None of us are in the same room. We're entertaining people who are all over the fucking globe. All 7 billion people tuning in. This is the future.
This is the future.
Just two losers bantering on a podcast. This is the future, which is why don't get the vaccine. Lick doorknobs and hope COVID takes you.
My mom has the right idea.
Your mom's right.
Why go on? What's the point?
No, this is so sad that she is right about Jesus coming back and rescuing us from this.
No, she is huffing chemtrails right now. She's standing out in her yard just looking at the sky with her mouth open, just trying to breathe it in.
Biden, kill me now!
Biden is probably sitting on his bed too. Someone kill me. someone shoots me with like an adrenaline shot every night so that I can keep talking and I have to go out here. And he's just like, wear a mask, bud. Where am I? Why don't you have the new stimulus check?
He's like, imagine being that old,
so cloudy all the time.
Can you imagine being that old and then being like, you're the president? Like, no, yeah, I would kill myself.
Dude, you ever talk to like your grandmother and they get stressed about just the simplest, like, well, where are we going? And you're just like, oh, don't worry about it. Like if someone's like, wait, did we bomb Syria? And you're like, grandma, don't worry. Stimulus. I thought I put the stimulus check right here. Where did it go? I need to be able to call the stimulus check and find it. It's like, just mean.
I need one of those necklaces that keeps the stimulus check right here.
You know, they need to have the thing around Biden when he falls on policy and can't get up. It's like, Biden, you bombed Syria. he fell on the red button and he can't get up. He's just like, Biden, you didn't raise the $15 minimum wage. He's like, I've fallen into neoliberalism. I can't get up. I'm stuck here. It got in the toilet bowl.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I said this when Trump got elected too, but the next presidential election is gonna be fucking crazy.
I think it's just gonna be over. I think it's gonna be like I think it's gonna be all of us all, like a breakup when we all come together and we're like, once this was okay, we're calling it a day. It's gonna be China walking in and go, we're stopping this.
We'll take it from here, guys.
And the thing, we'd all be like, we're fine with that. We're fine with that. At least the people tracking me will have like some organization. Yeah, I'm not gonna have all my privacy robbed just to like sell me boner pills. I was like, okay, but I'm being fucked by oligarchs right now. I mean,
at least tell me what to do. Don't just sell me shit. Give me direction.
If they offered everyone like $200 in free Uber Eats, we'd be fine with the takeover. If China was like, you know what, universal healthcare, and you guys get like everyone gets $100 at Chili's, and everyone would burn American flags tomorrow. Nobody would care. that's the only thing holding this nation together is nobody cares, really.
No, if China came, nobody, they were like, listen, gang, it's half apps every day.
Yeah, we're just
Absolutely.
Half off Mott's.
We'd all be marching in the streets in perfect formation immediately. Too chilly. it'd be beautiful. Anyway, man.
Well, Jeremy, you have a podcast, correct?
Yes. Technically, it's a radio show.
Radio show, I'm sorry.
It also will be available as a podcast. That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's called Small Time?
It's called The Small Time. And we broadcast Mondays from WHUP-FM in Hillsboro, North Carolina, which is a tiny independent radio station in my hometown. But it's also everything that we broadcast is streamable from the radio website, whupfm.org. And the show is called The Small Time, and it's focused on local comedy and small time comedians in North Carolina and who have some connection to North Carolina, which would include you guys.
I'll be on it soon.
What's that?
I said I'll be on it soon. You guys want to check
out? You'll be on it soon. Kenyon's going to get interviewed. So check it out. I mean, the website is smalltimeshow.com, and we're also on the social medias, The Small Time Show on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and all that. So the show will actually go live in a couple of weeks. We've been recording episodes, but it won't start broadcasting for a couple of weeks. But hit us up on social media and you'll be able to get all the episodes when they go on. So
that sounds really awesome. I mean, I know I'm going to be listening because people from North Carolina comedians, that's my shit right
there. Yeah, right. No, I think it's cool. I mean, I think it's cool for a lot of reasons. I mean, it's the only show I know that's going to be dedicated just to kind of highlighting local scenes in North Carolina, which, you know, there's a lot of cool stuff happening in North Carolina comedy right now.
And I've always said there's a ton of talent people don't.
Huge amount of talent.
It's overlooked. Yeah.
Overlooked. Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of great clubs and stuff. And, you know, it's interesting because it's a radio show. So it'll be, you know, it's a little less, I mean, unlike a podcast, like everything happens live. So I can't edit anything that really happens. So, it'll be interesting to see, cause I'm also not great at radio and technology. Like I'm figuring it out. So
you're not selling the podcast. Well, you're like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, selling is you never know what's going to happen on there. Cause you have a complete amateur on there.
Okay. Yeah.
And it could go sideways.
It's kind of like a cancel booth. You're like, it's live. You can't edit it. If I sit in this chair and fuck up, like, it's done. Like, it's done right there. It's done. And Jeremy's going to be like, listen, you did that yourself. No one told you to say that. Like, no! Cut it out! I'm sorry!
Hey, guys, you just listened to another episode of Fuck You, Dad. If you could follow us on our Instagram, which is FCKYOUDAD podcast. That's the important one. We also have a Twitter account, which is FCKYOUDADPODCA1. If you could follow that. Also, please submit any father stories that you have that you'd like us to make fun of, laugh at, or share. Shoot that to our Instagram DMs. And if you could please go ahead and rate the podcast, share the podcast with your friends and family that might enjoy it, and keep listening. Thank you so much.